Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, everybody. If you are hearing the broadcast during the 3 o'clock hour, that's Central Time, of course, while you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like to interact with you. If you have a question you'd like to discuss, call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, both in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This has just been a great month so far, as we've talked about how to be a voice, how to share this good news of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about some basic premises of what the Word of God has to say. Today, we're really going to focus, I think, on the main one, 2 Corinthians 3:6. Paul wrote this, "Who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So if we're going to carry out this ministry that God has given to us, it has to be the ministry of the new covenant. Yes. Otherwise, we're not doing God's business, so to speak. We're not really participating in what he's bringing to listeners, to people all around the world. He wants us to be in the new covenant. And this particular verse really gives the clearest explanation as to why, because it's the ministry of life. In this new covenant, we experience life. And that was our problem. We were dead spiritually. This new covenant, what Jesus ushered in through his shed blood on the cross, what he brings to our hearts through his resurrected life, is life itself. That's what the world needs. If we're going to minister the gospel, we need to be ministers of the new covenant, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, Bob, also you look at this verse and it says that's what we're competent to do. The NIV says competent, and then as you look over at the New American Standard, it says adequate. So if there are ministers out there right now who are feeling inadequate, who are feeling incompetent at what they're doing, you know, it's because we end up with a message of, hey, you better do good and be good and act right. And every week we're preaching, you know, this sort of thing inside and out, left, right, and center, this message of morality and ethics. You better clean up your act and do right and stop sinning. And we end up with sin management as our focus. And then when we ourselves stumble and fall, then we feel that contradiction. We feel like hypocrites. We feel inadequate and incompetent. And God's cure for that is that, hey, the message is not about you. The message is not about your consistency, your obedience, your ability. The message is about what Jesus did, and Jesus made us adequate. Jesus made us competent, and the message is actually all about him.
Yeah, and that's why it's such good news. You know, I've talked a little bit here of late about theological blenders. You know, with the health craze that is going on, smoothies are so popular, and we mix vegetables and fruits and all kinds of things, and we add, you know, a little protein powder and all of that sort of stuff, and we get a nutritional powerhouse drink. Well, we do that with theology as well. We try to blend all the different messages out there in the world. Well, when we blend the messages together, we don't really have anything that's of value to any single person. It's just a hodgepodge of stuff that means nothing. That's why we have to be so clear on what our mandate is, what God has called us to, and that's to minister this new covenant. Because when we're clear on the message, then those that hear can be clear and gain some certainty in their life. Yeah. And when we talk about this new covenant, we're talking about a covenant in which our sins have been forgiven once and for all, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. A covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. A covenant in which we know God. We've entered into a personal, dynamic, vivacious relationship with God himself, a covenant in which we have been marked out as God's people, a covenant in which God's Spirit comes to dwell inside of us and propels us down a path of new life in him. That's this new covenant. So when we're clear in our presentation, of this gospel message and of this new covenant, then folks can be clear in their understanding and really gain some certainty and confidence and conviction about this new life in Christ. So it's so vitally important that we understand that we have been made competent as ministers of the new, that old covenant. When we try to blend the old with the new, we're not doing anybody a good service.
Well, it says here we're killing people.
Yes.
If we do that.
Yeah, and Romans 11:6 says, if by grace, it's no longer from works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. So that's what you're saying with this, you know, the blender analogy, the picture of sort of blending all this up. Well, then you don't even have grace when you end up with something radically different. You throw in, you know, one fly in the ointment, one worm in the apple, and who wants to eat it?
That's right.
No good to anybody.
That's right. So we need to, you know, blenders as far as smoothies go.
Good idea.
It's a good idea. As far
Absolutely,
as theology, man. As far as the gospel, it's a bad idea. Yeah. So if you're a pastor out there and you have a theological blender in your office, go ahead and just get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's not doing you any good, nor is it doing your congregation any good. If you're just a believer, you've tuned in, you're listening, and you're trying to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and blend it all together, throw away your blender as well. It's not doing you any good either. There's one message. His name is Jesus. There's one covenant. It's the new. And the reason why is because it's the message of life in Christ.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would love to have a call from you right now at 844-322-2742. Again, in the U.S., Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, there are many voices being heard across this nation and around the world today. If you listen to your radio, watch television, or read a daily publication, you hear them, the voices, sharing their belief and passion for their cause. For those who are in Christ, many times that passion is not apparent. We're reluctant to step up and share our belief with the one who literally has given us life. Why is that? Why can't each of us be a voice in the cause of Christ? Well, maybe it's because we don't know how, or we're fearful to do so. For that reason, Basic Gospel is offering our multi-CD teaching series called Be a Voice, to teach us how to share what Jesus has done in our lives. Simply make a gift to Basic Gospel and this month, and we'll be sending you a copy of this multi-CD series, Be a Voice. Just click Donate when you visit basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742. You can be a voice for the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, click Donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Bob, you did it again. As you do a lot, you just stole my thunder. But you're so spot on about the mixed message. And when I look at the New Testament, especially the letters, I see that Paul, Timothy, Peter, everybody was a voice. You know, just like we stressed in 2012, our conference in Dallas was Be a Voice. And haven't forgot a lot of what I heard, but the new covenant is so different from what was in the old. And if you guys can just continue speaking on, you know, a minister of the new covenant, many people don't minister because, like you said, they just don't know. But I am grateful for Andrew and you guys just putting the word out absolutely correctly day after day, okay? Thank you. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Well,
thanks, Brad. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, it's good to hear from him. It reminds me of an email I got the other day from a man named James in Australia. He says, I'm trying to work out whether my pastor's teaching a mixed message that's not under the umbrella of grace. He says, my pastor made statements like the grace of God is discovered by the terror of God. It is because of the terror of God that we persuade men. You know, Bob, these sort of statements, I think, are the things that we're talking about. I mean, it's just so confusing when one Sunday you hear about the grace of God, the next Sunday you hear you're supposed to be scared to death of him, the next Sunday you hear that God, you know, sent his son to die for the sins of the world, and God so loved the world, but wait a minute, you're supposed to have terror of him. And so, you know, it's really hard for people to sort these things out. and really understand what the gospel is actually about when we've got the back and forth mixed message. And I guess some guys think it's important to have a balance between, you know, being terrified of God and recognizing who God is in sending his son. And what we're trying to do is sort of clear the waters. They're so murky and muddy in some regards, aren't they?
Oh, boy, they are. As I was listening to your email there, I read an article that one of my friends posted, and it was a theologian really hammering away at teachers that just concentrate on the love of God. You know, we need to balance that love of God. We need to talk about his justice. We need to talk about, his holiness and all of those sort of things. We have to present the full counsel of God. And I thought, you know, I read this article. There wasn't one mention of Jesus from beginning to end.
Wow.
It was all about theology. And I said, if you deliver the message of Jesus, and that's what this new covenant is all about, you're going to deliver the full counsel of God. If you talk about what happened at the cross, the fact that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, you're going to see how love and justice have come together in that one single act, and that through love, God could be both just and the justifier of the wicked. That's all seen in the work of Jesus Christ. When you look at the resurrection, you see that the whole entire counsel of God, the Word of God, was leading to this new creation, this resurrection story. It was foretold starting way back in Genesis. The blessing that God gave to Abraham was through his seed, the whole world would be blessed. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. So if we're going to teach the full counsel of God, we have to deliver Jesus, undiluted, as you would say, pure, no additives, nothing but Jesus. That is the full counsel of God. And when we see this stunning picture of Jesus Christ himself, we understand what God is like. Yes. Apart from Jesus, we're never going to know. So we have to realize that everything that we need has been provided for us in Christ and can be experienced in this new covenant. And boy, why aren't people more courageous in sticking right there? Why do we have to go about blending messages? Why do we have to go about making theology more than Jesus? I just don't get it sometimes. Do you?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be simple. And Paul said he was afraid. He was afraid that people were going to be straying from the simplicity of devotion to Christ and then substituting in other things, tantalizing distractions. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with prophecy. But if prophecy becomes your focus, then Jesus is not your focus. There's nothing wrong with passages about behavior and attitudes and actions. Those are great passages, but without the foundation of Christ in you, living through you as you depend on him, then that's just morality and ethics all by itself. So, you know, we can quickly get distracted by these peripherals, and we have to get back to the main thing, which is no thing at all. It's a person, Jesus Christ, living in us and all that he's done for us and what it means for him to be in us today and what it means to bear the fruit of his spirit as he produces in and through us. And that whole mentality is what takes the Christian world by storm as they go, wow, I knew it had to be this good. I knew in my heart that this was always the truth. I just didn't know how to express it. We hear these sort of things all the time because God's written this message on our hearts, and it's just going to take some time for our minds to play catch up.
Yes, it is. Well, let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles joining us today. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, you know that message that you delivered about we're to be ministers of reconciliation really struck a chord with me. I enjoy listening to different worldviews and perspectives. And for example, recently I've been listening to a professor, a PhD in economics, considered the leading Marxist economist in the United States. On the other hand, I've been listening to a PhD in psychology, And they actually, one calls the other essentially a complete falsehood. And I'm thinking, well, hold on, you know, there's some truth over here. There's some truth over there. It's like the alt-right versus the radical left. There's truths there, but they're missing the message of reconciliation, and that is that, you know, if you listen to each other and are ready to give up, which I'm thinking the word submission comes to mind, we find life in the middle.
Mm.
And that's what I think the message
of
Jesus is.
Yeah, Miles, my thought. Yeah, sorry. My thought on that is, you know, as we look at 2 Corinthians 5 and we look at the ministry of reconciliation there, primarily we're seeing, okay, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Well, here it is, that God was reconciling the world to himself, and then he says, we beg you, we implore you, be reconciled to God. So as believers, our main ministry is not to get to, you know, a Marxist to agree with a psychologist or a psychologist to listen better to a Marxist or anything like that. As believers, of course, we look at those movements like Marxism and even modern psychology, and we say they're temporal. Those movements are short-lived. We can see their beginning and their end. But the God that we serve has no beginning and no end. He's eternal. So what I would say there is you spoke of submission. You know, Ephesians says submit to one another. And that mutual submission where we actually listen to each other, we actually love each other, we actually respect each other, and we decide not to get our identity from our political views or our economic views, I think that can only really genuinely happen in Christ. I mean, you just look at one news channel to the next, all you have to do is spend 30 minutes flipping through the top five news channels, and people are arguing with each other, fighting with each other, talking over each other all the time, never listening to the other person, never even understanding each other's questions before we answer them. And I think that sort of thing, Miles, can only begin to happen as we have Christ living in us and we're not getting our identity from our political or economic views.
Amen. Yeah, it's the message is reconciliation, you know, and as you said, that's an act of love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Miles, thanks for your call. We always appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
Yes, we do. Sounds like Miles would be right at home on Mars Hill.
yes, indeed. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, these philosophies that are out there, all of these different systems, you know, they're trying to analyze the problems, and they've come up with their ideas as far as what the real problems are in the world, and every single one of them ignore sin and death as the primary problems that we face. That's why I think the Jews missed the Messiah. They missed Jesus because they thought the enemy was Rome. And if the Messiah could come and simply knock Rome off its throne, then Israel could take up its rightful place as the preeminent nation, preeminent kingdom in the world. But the enemy was never Rome. It was always sin and death. Yeah. Jesus came to conquer sin and death. And when we look at these world systems, that's what they miss. They miss the idea, the reality of sin and death. And since they miss the problem, then any solution is going to be off kilter. It's not going to address the real needs of humanity. And that's why this gospel is so vitally important.
Without question. Well, friends, you know our July Freedom Sale is over, but the products and resources that you'll find on the Basic Gospel Store are just as valid and important as ever when you're learning about the life that we've entered into as children of God and when learning to communicate the gospel with family members, friends, workmates, and other associates. You know, and even though we're back to regular prices, those people still need to hear the truth of God's Word. So take advantage of some of the very best teaching that there is anywhere. And just visit store.basicgospel.net to see it all and make your selection. Again, that's store@basicgospel.net. We have a question from Kenny, and he says, you guys have been talking about 1 John 1:9, and I thoroughly appreciate that. It is one of those confusing Bible verses that calls into question the basis for everything we believe. My question is, if you continue to 1 John 3:9, in the King James Version, it says, and I'll do it in King James's, whosoever is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He goes on to say, I read that as Christians do not sin, but if you compare the NASB, the NIV, and ESV, they use words like continue to sin and make a practice of sinning, which to me is more clear. What is your position on this verse and the various translations? That's from McKinney, who says, thank you, and thank you for the blessing of your Bible teaching.
So he's asking specifically about 1 John 3:9.
Yeah.
So is that teaching us that Christians don't sin? Or is it talking about a lifestyle? And I think that's an important question. There are certainly people out there, believers, who say once they've come to Christ that they don't sin. Said, well, what do you call lying now? Well, we have to call it something else because it's not sin. But, lying is lying is lying. So we believers can do that. We can submit to other fleshly desires and commit sin. So that can't be what he's talking about there, is it?
No, absolutely not. I think in looking at the various translations, there's a reason why those committees arrive at words like does not continue in sin or does not practice sin, because the original language there in terms of the verb and its tense, it means to keep on keeping on in a practice. And of course, the age-old example that I like to give is any sports professional, like Michael Jordan. What did he do? He practiced every day, all day long. What did he practice? Basketball. Why? To get better at basketball. Why? So that he could be a champion at the game of basketball. And he was. Well, after you come to Christ, you don't wake up every day and say, you know what, I'm going to practice sin in order to get better at sin so that I can be a champion sinner. Why don't you do that anymore? Well, because you're a saint, not a sinner at the core. So we're a saint who sometimes sins, but we're not a sinner by nature. God has taken the old self, crucified and buried it, and we are the new self. And so that's what John is after here. He's saying the trend has been reversed. We used to be going in a different direction, but now that we're born of God, now that we're born of him and have him residing in us, things have changed radically. Our passions have changed. Our desires have changed. There's been a trend reversal at the core of our being. And lastly, I would say these same guys, Bob, who say that we never sin again as Christians, they say, well, how could we if we're not under the law? Then how can there even be such a thing as sin without the law? Well, look, people were doing just fine at sinning between Adam and Moses. Death still reigned. There was spiritual death and sin, and people were doing nasty stuff from Adam till Moses. What Moses did was just point it out. The law points it out, but sin entered the world at Adam. And we need to remember that just because we're not under law, anything that's not of faith is sin. People say, how can you possibly define sin if we're not under the law? Well, God does that for us. He says anything that's not of faith in Christ is sin.
And folks, listen to that definition.
Yes.
That's in Romans, I think, 14.
14, yeah.
And mark that, because that is so vitally important. When we are committing sins out there, it's because we're not trusting Jesus in a particular area of life. So we get so interested in the leaves and the fruit that we miss the root of what's really causing this. And whatever is not of faith is sin. And that's what we've been called to live. That's how we've been called to live. We manifest that faith and love one toward another. So when we're committing sins, we're not loving people.
Right.
That's the
mm-hmm.
deal.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm.
And the life that God is, the life that he's poured in us, is a life of love. We get to express it by faith every single day.
Yeah.
It's the most exciting thing ever. That's why we need to be so clear on the message. We need to know that we're ministers of the new covenant.
Without question. And friends, remember that it's your gifts that keep this basic gospel message on the air with the good news of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this month, of course, in combination with your gifts, we're to help you prepare to share your faith in Jesus with confidence. Just make a donation to Basic Gospel this month, and we'll send you a copy of our multi-CD teaching series called Be a Voice. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift, and your copy of Be a Voice will be on its way to you, to your mailbox. You can also phone your gift to 844-322-2742. That number is available 24 hours a day to serve you. 844-322-2742. Be a Voice. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.